You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for the podcast wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Winter recreation. You know, if you live in Montana, winters, I think, are far better if you kind of lean into it a little bit, right? If you find the joy in recreating in the cold and snow. Find the joy. They still make mittens, okay? And it's one of the things that folks have been actually doing in the wake of the pandemic. One is staying home and binge-watching, like, Game of Thrones or something like that. And the other, as I said, is getting outside and leaning into it. And we're kind of finding out here, as we take a deeper dive into our Montana economy, the winter rec, what the heck? It's still pretty good in Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, he saw his shadow. It's Tom Schultz.
Oh, is it Groundhog Day today?
Yeah.
And did the groundhog see his shadow?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Six more weeks of snow, winter, and pain.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. This winter has certainly not been snow and pain in some areas. Now, and I kind of made some calls last week to find out where is the snow. And it's we're happy to report that it is in places in Montana where you want it to be. Welcome here to Voices of Montana. It's from Montana for Montana. Been doing it 22 years. That is two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective, and can't thank you enough for making us a part of your Montana mornings here. Going to talk winter recreation today. A bit later on, we're going to speak with Jessie Wood. She's the operations manager at Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort. It's that ski resort that's just left of Lakeside, kind of the north side, northwest side of Flathead Lake there. And we're going to kind of get an update on winter recreation. How have they dealt with the pandemic, so to speak? Now, everybody has had to make some adjustments, but You might be surprised to kind of find out that the winter recreation industry in Montana is really kicking up like it ought to be. There was reports that last year, Yellowstone Park in particular, even despite the fact it was closed for a full month, the number of folks going to the park was only down 5%. So, and then also another report out here too recently that folks can't even buy a snowmobile if that's what they want to do. Let's welcome Clyde Seeley. He's the owner-operator of the Three Bear Lodge in West Yellowstone, and he's got a story to tell him. It's going to go back 40-plus years as he started there, actually, as working in the summers. I think he said even a laundry boy, and has fought through the fires there, not only in 1988, but the Three Bear Lodge. Did a lot of rebuilding, and I think, as folks will recognize, really credited as one of those who helped launch the snowmobile recreation industry in Montana. Not only launched it, but encouraged it along and had to defend it in the early part of this century when environmentalists wanted to just close it out completely out of Yellowstone. And Clyde, it's going to be a pleasure to chat with you today. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. Appreciate being asked to be on your program.
And I appreciate you being here, too. First of all, let's get an update, okay? You guys got snow?
Oh, we have some snow. We have last few days, it's beautiful right now, a sunny day. But for the last week, we've had a good amount of snow, about 8 inches a day for a couple of days. So we're great right now.
That's good to hear. And what do folks tell you about the pandemic? Have you seen some cancellations? Is it maybe sort of getting back on the right side of things?
Well, back at our lodge back in the spring, we had a lot of cancellations because of the COVID. However, people are beginning to adapt or figuring out how to exist in this environment. Mm-hmm. Later in the summer, it really took off and did well. And this winter, it's unbelievable the amount of people that are coming just to get out to the wide open spaces. You know, these vistas that you see in Yellowstone don't have any viruses, and people come and look and enjoy. It's really a busy winter this year.
I noticed, too, and it's Clyde Seeley, owner-operator, Three-Bear Lodge in West Yellowstone, also very involved in the West Yellowstone business community and tourism there. And the website is three, and spelled out, threebearlodge.com. And check out the Facebook page. I noticed some pretty nice pictures there. As you talked about, there was one Christmas Day, I think it was, in West Yellowstone, and it was just pristine. It was crystal clear. So the current status then of the industry is good for you. Before we go back and talk about how it all got started, there are reports that folks can't even buy snowmobiles. They're just not making them fast enough for the demand right now.
I know that you have to pre-order snowmobiles in order to get them made in, you know, for the season. But there are snowmobiles around to be bought. Now, going into Yellowstone, of course, that's a different situation. You have to have make arrangements with concessionaires that are able to go into the park. So not everybody can go into the park, but you can certainly buy a snowmobile.
And there's lots of places outside of Yellowstone. Let's go back to when this all began in terms of really initiating this winter recreation, because as you had said, and Clyde's got a book out there too called Opportunity Knock. You can find out more information. It's Clyde Seeley, Seeley.com. You had talked about in that book that process. Yellowstone, West Yellowstone was sort of just a sleepy little burg in the wintertime, but this woke it up, didn't it?
Well, yes. But if you don't mind, in order to get to that point, maybe I should go back and tell you a little bit how we got to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
As you mentioned, I came in 1958 as a laundry boy working at Three Bear Lodge. That was a long time ago. And the owner there said, Clyde, one of these days when you own Three Bear Lodge, and she went on, well, that was just went in one ear and out the other, but it came true. Eventually, I began teaching school in West Yellowstone and signed the papers to buy the place, buy Three Bear Lodge, put them in the mail, went back to teach school, and 2 o'clock they came in and said the motel was on fire. So that's not a good way to start off a new operation, especially for a little kid. So I quit teaching school and rebuilt, and I had a snowmobile, and it was fun to go out of the park and to go in the park. And I decided to rebuild and stay open in the wintertime, get some rental snowmobiles and start promoting snowmobile in Yellowstone. So I did just that. I hopped on a plane, the first time I've ever done any marketing like this. Went back to Minneapolis and started cold calling on travel agencies and snowmobile clubs. And said, you just got to come and see this. And they did. So we started to fill up, and then we encouraged our neighbors to stay open. And eventually the whole town started staying open in the wintertime. Totally changed the economy of West Yellowstone. So I've been able to kind of leave an indelible footprint that's helped to change a sleepy little bedroom community into a real year-round vacation destination. Because it really did change West Yellowstone.
Yeah, did it sort of happen overnight, Clyde? Because, as you said, you enjoyed it. You thought, hey, other people are going to enjoy it. And so you just didn't open, you know, and make a few calls. You went out and aggressively marketed that industry. What kind of help did you have? Who was getting on board early?
Well, first of all, it was just me, and it was our kind of like a little ma-and-pa operation. But it took time from 1971 then until up to 2000. By 2000, it became so popular that the environmentalists wanted to close the park down to snowmobiles. And so we engaged in took about a 15-year battle to keep snowmobiles into Yellowstone Park. And eventually in 2013, that was accomplished. And so then snowmobiles and snow coaches and cross-country skis are all allowed to go into Yellowstone in the wintertime, but with some restrictions. And I think that they're good. It cut down on the number of people that could go in the park, which on the one hand is bad, but on the other hand, it really was being overused. It was such a popular thing to do, and it was, I've got to admit, it was a little hard on the resource. So changes were made. Changes are always hard to adapt and live with, but we in West Yellowstone are used to change. So we adapt, and the whole winter economy thing settled down, settled into some stability. People could predict for certain that they can go into the park the following year, and that added a great deal of certainty to us and to the people when this was finally resolved.
Yeah, and most of those are just our friends of yours, our family operators, like you are. Clyde Seeley is with us, owner-operator, Three Bear Lodge from West Yellowstone. Again, threebearlodge.com, and author of Opportunity Knocked. Kind of want to talk a little bit about that effort. As I said, you launched it, and then you had to encourage it. More people got on board, and then, as you said, it became real popular before the turn of the century, where I think you and I had chatted, there were 1,700 a day on peak days. So overdoing it, not good for the resource, both the environmental community, they wanted nobody in there. That was going to devastate the economy, which had really invested a lot into the winter recreation there, came up with a compromise. But there's also something that you had said when we chatted, Clyde, is that there's quotas right now, and you still think the park is maybe underutilized in the wintertime.
Well, I do. You know, I think that we went from one extreme to the other. I think the plan that they have now works really well. But we've been operating now since 2013 with this quota system. And it, I still believe, and I reinforce more all the time, that it is vastly underutilized. I believe that it can be increased so that more people can go into the park and enjoy it in the wintertime. So we're going to start seeing what we can do about going through a process called adaptive management to see if we can gain some support and maybe increase that quota somewhat. I think it's time.
I think that's good news for a lot of people there, too, because, West Yellowstone, it's obviously one of those communities that park folks and the government wants there. They want to have services for folks visiting West Yellowstone. We'll come on back and talk more about how the snowmobile winter recreation industry sort of changed the economy in West Yellowstone and how it continues to evolve as we look at winter recreation here in Montana on Voices of Montana, from Montana for Montana. Talking today about winter recreation in Montana, in particular that snowmobile winter recreation, which is as hot as it's been, although as Clyde Seeley, who owns and operates along with the family there, the Three Bear Lodge in West Yellowstone, threebearlodge.com for more information. Those communities around the park are very important to experiences for folks who want to go to Yellowstone National Park, West Yellowstone and Gardner, other areas. And Clyde, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. You kind of said something about how it changed the economy of West Yellowstone. Now, I think, as you said, you go back and in your book, Opportunity Knocked, you were visiting there sort of as a kid, or at least you'd hear a train that went by, the Yellowstone Special, which was taking folks to Yellowstone National Park, and it eventually took you there.
Yes. Yes, I grew up on a little farm in St. Anthony. Not far from there, the train went by every morning at 5:30. It was the Yellowstone Special, taking people to Yellowstone. And eventually, I rode that train to when I was 19, working as a laundry boy one day. And it was a beautiful ride up. People came in the summertime only at that time, though. And the whole town of West Yellowstone closed down in the wintertime. Board up the windows and get a good book and lots of firewood and ski, and that was about it. And then along came the snowmobile and snow coach. First of all, it was the snow coach. The Bombardier snow coach first went into the park in 1955 with Harold Young. And we eventually bought out that operation. So we now own those Bombardier snow coaches, as well as the snowmobiles. So you can still go into the park both ways, but the impact on West Yellowstone when we started promoting it as a winter recreation destination really had an impact. And when it was going at its full speed, when I was talking about earlier, before the threat that we had of closing down, there were 10 new hotels that were built.
Wow.
In West Yellowstone. And then the announcement was made that we're going to shut snowmobiles out of the park. And in fact, Judge Sullivan in 2000 said, as of the next day, we're closing the park to snowmobiles. Now, we eventually got through all of that, but that was after 10 hotels had been built, and then nothing for about, you know, stopped and started back up gradually. And that was during all that time when this battle was going on about snowmobiles versus non-snowmobiles until it was finally settled in 2013.
Why did it take so long? And I remember that time because I was working in government at the time, and I remember the battle to preserve that industry because it was very valuable to the folks who have invested in West Yellowstone, Cook City, Gardner, and other areas in Montana. Why did it take over a decade to resolve that issue?
Well, first of all, there were multiple huge environmental organizations with untold funding and that was dedicating themselves to getting snowmobiles out of the park. And so they got this ball rolling, and we as a little community had to counteract that. And so we teamed up with other organizations such as the International Snowmobile Association and began going back to Washington many times, meeting with many senators and representatives and the assistant secretary to the Department of Interior became friends with him. And it was a long battle going back and forth. And then when the administration changed and the Bush era came in, then there was a different attitude. And it was from that point on that we were able to start making real progress and eventually came to the decision that we're in. It takes a long time when you take on a project that big,
yeah,
with that much dedication from both sides to try and arrive at a solution that's amicable to everyone. It takes a long time. We spent about 15 years doing that.
And you had to change some minds, too. I know that you had mentioned John Barry, who I believe was the assistant secretary, and he had come out,
yes,
and said no. But you had a chance to get to know him and change his mind.
Yes, well, we listened to he came to speak to the Greater Yellowstone Coalition here in West Yellowstone and said that we are getting snowmobiles out of Yellowstone. So I met him and asked to meet with him, and the next day we happened to have the first Articat four-stroke snowmobile in our possession. We were Articat dealers, and I asked Don, along with our rental operator group, to come and meet. And we demonstrated for him how quiet and how clean that four-stroke snowmobile was, and it started to change his mind. And we eventually became, what I said, kind of friends. I was there at his retirement party in Washington, D.C., in the Department of Interior's office at his retirement party, and there are 80 people there. And he said, of all the people that are here tonight, the person that I am most pleased to have here is Clyde Seeley from West Yellowstone.
Boy, I appreciate it.
Because we oppose each other, and yet we do it in a friendly manner.
That's exactly it. And I appreciate that. I got to take a break, Clyde. And then we'll have just about maybe 4 minutes or so to kind of wrap it up. I think maybe we can talk about the 1988 fires in West Yellowstone. And, of course, that had a huge impact. We're here with Clyde Seeley, owner-operator, Three Bear Lodge in West Yellowstone. A winter recreation update and a bit of history here, too. Let's come back after just a short break. Brian Bennett has headlines.
East Helena brothers Joshua and Jared Hughes. Prosecutors say were among the first people to enter the U.S. Capitol while Congress was certifying the Electoral College vote January 6th were ordered and detained Monday. The U.S. Marshal Service will transfer them to Washington, D.C. to face federal charges. At a virtual Bureau of Business and Economic Research 2021 Economic Outlook seminar Monday, Director Patrick Barkey described an unusual recession in which Montana lost tens of thousands of jobs in the coronavirus pandemic, many that unrecovered, while personal economic income remained on a different track. He said it was really a public health crisis with economic consequences. The State House gave initial approval Monday to Senate Bill 65 to provide liability protections to the state's businesses over exposure to COVID-19. This is one of the requirements Governor Greg Gianforte has said he needs to lift the statewide mask mandate. With Montana News headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
Wrapping up a pretty cool story here. Clyde Seeley of Three Bear Lodge in West Yellowstone. He grew up on a farm in St. Anthony, Idaho, and eventually worked his way up through the laundry department into management and then as ownership. He took over for Francis and Mike Wilson. He and Linda did. And over the next 50 years plus, helped launch winter recreation, the snowmobile industry in West Yellowstone. And Clyde, I appreciate your time here. The story is in a book you wrote called Opportunity Knocked. How do you sum that up for us?
Well, my life has been filled with opportunities. And I have found that when they come knocking at your door, you better open the door and go with what lies in front of you. So that's kind of why we've done that. What I've done with the book is summarize, it's kind of a biography, and you know, that might sound boring to some of you, but I tell you, it have a lot of good comments back on it. There are a lot of heartwarming stories in it. We talk about the fires of Yellowstone, in which we played a major role in defending West Yellowstone from the fires. We brought in 60 miles of sprinkler pipe from volunteered farmers in Idaho and set up the sprinkler system around the town in 2 days' time with 16 miles of pipe. So that's in there. It talks about the Three Bear Lodge. The day in 2000, first of all, it burned the day I bought it. And then again, in 2008, it burned. This time we had to tear it down. And we rebuilt that into a lodge that has never been built. Another one can never be built like it. It is totally unique because we brought it out of the ashes. We reclaimed a lot of the wood and preserved the history of the town. So when you go into Three Bear Lodge, it's like a little museum. And that's all contained in my book, Opportunity Knocked. If you go on ClydeSeeley.com, and gotta say, if you don't do it right now, you won't. But if you just go there, it shows a little video about it. And $14.95, we'll be glad to send you one.
I did read some good comments about that, how good storytelling, and there's something of value in there. It's Opportunity Knock, but also you might think about resiliency answer, too, because as you talked about, through the fires, through the fire of the lodge itself. We're out of time here, Clyde, but we're going to circle back and keep visiting, okay?
That'd be great.
All right. Clyde, thank you so much. Owner-operator, Three Bear Lodge. Going to go up to Blacktail Mountain next, and Jesse Wood's going to join us here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Economic focus this week, and why not? The economy is pretty dang important to us all, that pocketbook stuff. Yesterday, we talked with Bill Coffey from Stockman Bank, and a lot of good things came out of that conversation to understand the ag economy, the recreation economy. We kind of talked about that a little bit. Also talked about energy. And the Federal Reserve. And that's up on the podcast page, voicesofmontana.com. Look for podcasts. You'll find it. It's also on our Facebook page, and we'd love to have you join us there as well at Voices of Montana on Facebook. Tom Schultz alongside, thank you for being here. A little note about tomorrow's program as we continue to look at the economy. And this was spurred by sort of by the BBER's Economic Outlook Seminar. They do this on a yearly basis. It began yesterday. It continues today as they'll look at microeconomies, the economy of Helena, the economy of Missoula, the economy of Bozeman or Billings or the Flathead. They'll do that in various sections. Tomorrow we're going to have Dr. Pat Barkey on the program, and it's interesting as he gave his presentation yesterday, some significant facts to kind of maybe just soak on a little bit, that when he talked about the economy, there are parts of the economy that have more than recovered. And then pieces of the economy that had really, really good years in 2020. And, of course, some that really, really suffered. We're looking at our winter recreation economy here today. And let's welcome Jesse Wood, operations manager from Blacktail Mountain. Now, they're just, take a left at Lakeside and head up the mountain. It's a really fun little family atmosphere and 100% terrain open. As we look around, there's not a lot of snow in some places, but Jesse, You guys got your whole mountain open.
Good morning. Yeah, we are fortunate to be situated on a north-facing slope, which means that the snow we get, we keep. We also have a very talented groomer who keeps the snow that we have tilled up nicely, and we've been lucky this year. Normally, we have a deeper base at this time of the season, but it's skiing really nice. We had a little bit of snow last week that kept it all fresh, and like I said, we're lucky to be running and running well.
What's the clientele like? Are there new skiers on the mountain? Is it a lot of the same folks who have come? And I think, as you and I chatted too a little while ago, there's no Canadian skiers on the mountain this year.
Yeah, with the border being mostly closed, it's a different clientele. We do miss our Canadian friends, but Blacktail's always been kind of a locals mountain. We do see more skiers from the larger resorts this year taking a drive because they're not flying to other areas. But we get kind of all kinds. We're really proud of our school program and that we are able to raise new skiers every season. But we see skiers of all abilities all over the hill.
How are they skiing? I'm not sure you can notice the difference there, because skiing in and of itself is sort of a social distance sport, or at least for skiers like me anyway. Nobody's going to ski near 10 feet of where I'm skiing. But what are some of the things that you have done because of the pandemic?
Well, we are, you're correct. Skiing is a socially distanced activity. It's outside. It's good for your heart and your mind. And what we've done in the state of Montana, we have a great organization called the Montana Ski Areas Association, and we collectively agreed that we would ask all guests to wear face coverings in lift lines while loading and unloading the lifts, because that's the only place outdoors where people are close together, and folks have been very respectful of that. Everybody's wearing a neck warmer anyways. Just pull it up when you're in the lift line. It's pretty easy. And then in our lodge, we're going by all of our county guidelines, which right now is 50%. And again, just asking people to mask up. Everybody was used to it by the time we opened, so it wasn't that difficult. We less seats in the bar is a bummer, but everybody, as I said, has been great about it. We've put picnic tables all over outdoors and built some fire pits, and our tailgating clientele is stronger than ever. And it's been a good season. We're, like I said, very fortunate.
Well, that's pretty cool. On your website, it is on blacktailmountain.com. When you look at those COVID-19 precautions, it's in quotes, "We want to operate, please cooperate," and which is nice. And then your car is your lodge. And people have, as you said, they're having tailgate gatherings. They've welcomed that, huh?
Yeah, it's been, again, it's that local clientele that is just, everybody's aching to get out and be with their people. And this is an outdoor community. Everyone has just been happy to be skiing and just to keep it simple and enjoy the snow.
What has the impact been? I mean, there has to be some kind of economic impact. There's obviously been some kind of social impact, and that can be carried out. But in your seat there as manager of Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort Operations Manager, what has the impact of the pandemic been?
It's been a bizarre season. We see a different clientele than usual. We have a really strong school group program that happens throughout the season, and that has been a big economic impact. You know, if schools aren't busing kids up to the ski area, then that's a lot of folks that we're not seeing in our midweek when it's slower. We've seen less in the lessons, and part of that is because nationally a lot of ski areas are only offering private lessons. We're doing bookings online, which we've never done before, and there's some tricks to that. We've done our best to adapt to this situation, and we've seen a difference in our numbers, but we're seeing a lot of happy skiers on the slopes, and that is the goal.
Have you had to make any operational changes outside of, like, I think you said, you know, some of the things that you do for the pandemic, and maybe there is nothing outside of that. I mean, do you guys have to limit the number on the mountain? I think you mentioned limiting the number on muleys.
Yeah, we're limiting our indoor spaces, and we're, again, really fortunate because we're a top-down mountain, so you drive to the top and ski down. So the lift line at the base of the mountain is not a big problem, and that's where you've seen other ski areas needing to limit their ticket sales. But because the first thing we do is spread them out, it's not something that we've had to really, I mean, we paid attention at the start of the season because nobody knew what to expect. And so we were thinking that we might need to limit ticket sales, but we have never done that this season, and I don't see us needing to do that.
That's interesting. Other resorts have, though. Didn't you say you were a member of the Montana Skiers Association?
Yeah, Montana Ski Areas Association, yeah. Oh. And most ski areas in Montana have not had to do that, but some in Bozeman are doing, you know, a reservation-only type system for their ticketing, and they have much bigger numbers than we do. It's never been a better time to be a small ski area in operations.
Yeah, so. Interesting. What comes next then? Not that we're ready to look all that far ahead, but maybe have there some new skiers on the mountain? How do you get them to keep coming back?
You know, I think that's one thing we do really well at Blacktail, because the people are our biggest commodity. We have a really amazing crew at Blacktail, and great relationships with our guests. And I think, you know, there's some things from the pandemic that we've learned and taken on. You know, we got into a ticketing system for the first time, and like I said, the online reservation things. There's some things we'll keep, and there's some things that we'll certainly ditch. But we've learned a lot, and I think the people that are coming are kind and happy to be there and easy to get them to keep coming.
Did you guys ever consider, and maybe it's too personal an information to share, but keeping, you know, some of your employees, did you have to lay them off? I know you're kind of a seasonal resort as well. What was your initial thought about getting through the pandemic when everybody shut down everything in March?
It was pretty bizarre. We shut down in March because nobody knew what we were dealing with here, and we were able to get our summer crew back on about a month later, and then, you know, moving forward into this season, we did staff up more because when people quarantine, that's a difficult thing to manage, especially with a small seasonal business and a small crew. So it's definitely been a challenge. And like I said, none of us knew what to expect, but being involved in those ski area groups like the Montana Ski Areas Association and the National Ski Areas Association, we all spent the summer talking to each other and planning for this, and it's been a really strong community. And I feel like we all kind of got on the same page quick, did it together, and I think we've all done really well.
That's cool. I want to come back and talk about that planning. And even with planning, there's always some surprises. Operations manager, Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort. It's blacktailmountain.com. Jesse Wood is with us here, and we'll have more. We come on back after a short break from Montana for Montana. Winter recreation today on Voices of Montana. Really a vital part of Montana's overall recreation economy is this winter recreation economy. And I think for a lot of years, it's sort of been overlooked. Now we've had skiing and snowmobiling. But as we heard from Clyde Seeley in the earlier part of the show, they really had to initiate and launch the snowmobile activity. I think that's maybe been sort of the case with various ski resorts and maybe cross-country skiing as well. It's something that if you don't remind people it's fun to do, they're going to forget and stay home and, as I said earlier, binge-watch Game of Thrones through the pandemic. Jesse Wood is with us, operations manager at Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort. I'm looking at your webcam, Jesse. Of course, operation hours are Wednesday through Sunday. Is it snowing there today?
Well, I'm at the lakeside office, so it was snowing this morning when somebody was up top doing. I'm looking at the webcam now too. It looks like it's maybe snowing and blowing a little bit up there right now.
Yeah, it does. Well, cool. That's what you want. So, folks around the state have no snow. You guys are doing pretty good, and you normally get about 250 inches a year, huh? 100% natural.
Yeah, we don't make snow. It's that north facing slope really makes a big difference for us. Like I said, the snow we get, we keep. So, we've been fortunate. And the fact that we're a top down mountain means that we can open the top half. We have a midway loading station. And so we can open just the top half and ski the good stuff until the bottom half is ready to go.
That's cool. You guys have, now we talked about, you're seeing maybe just a slight drop back, but the planning that you guys did with the Montana Ski Areas Association, always valuable. Any surprises there?
You know, I think we were all expecting to be really, really busy right at the start. And a bunch of us were calling around in the beginning of the season, and there was a lack of snow. And we were just thinking that as soon as we opened, we were going to be slammed. And it really was a slow trickle. I think people were kind of dipping their toe in the water and seeing how it was going to be and how operations were going to go before they started being up there real regular. And the day after Christmas, true to form, everyone was slammed. So that's traditionally when we all get hit at the start of the year. Otherwise, we've been pretty on point. We've been lucky.
I know that there's cross-country skiing nearby. It's not part of Blacktail, but it is something that, that a lot of folks ride up that road to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. The North Shore Nordic Club maintains a system of trails about 8 miles up our road, and they're definitely a wonderful community partner for us. They groom those trails regularly, and they have a site, northshorenordic.org, that you can kind of check out what they're doing. But we get a lot of cross-country skiers that will do the big loop and then come up for a bowl of soup at Blacktail, which is great.
Cool. Do you know how their numbers are?
You know, I don't think that they have a mechanism for tracking, really. It's, yeah. You know, they're a nonprofit, so it's donation-based. They're not charging at the gate or anything like that. So, you know, I see the cars in the parking lot, and I know that there's skiers there, but I don't know how they track their numbers.
Have you guys canceled a ton of events, or you're trying to continue on, like, some of those, that Mountaintop Music Series?
Yeah, so we've adapted a bunch of events. We have a Family Cup race that happens every year. It has happened every year since we opened 23 years ago. And instead of having timed racers and then a big reward ceremony in the bar at the end of the day, we converted it to the Family Candy Cup race. And we did dual courses where people could race each other, and whoever got to the bottom first on that course got a piece of candy. So we're doing what we can to keep the events we have alive. With our Mountaintop Music Series, we've gone away from big bands and doing single artists. And again, we only have 50% seating in our bar, but man, live music is something I sure miss these last months. So yeah, it's pretty great to have.
I've heard a lot of people say that, including my friend Dave over there in the Flathead. What's the upside for Montana's winter recreation industry? Is it solid now, underserved? What do we need to do to really get all that we can out of it?
You know, I think just getting out and trying new stuff. I mean, I, you know, take my kids out and go ice skating on a pond or do, you know, in this valley, we have so many things available to us. It's such a beautiful area. And if you don't just get out and try it, then you're wasting your time, man. That Game of Thrones thing that you were talking about. You just
outside. I've never seen it, to tell you the truth. But
yeah, no, I mean, it's a great show. But get outside and enjoy it. If you sit in the dark, it's no fun. But there's sunshine most days at the top of Blacktail because we're usually inverted.
Do you think the state needs to do more?
Always, you know. I mean, the Montana Skiers Association is always lobbying the tourism board to push winter more, and I think that it is. Our summers are full, so let's fill up all those hotel beds in the wintertime.
Yeah, really cool. Well, Jesse, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate that. Anytime you have news going on, you feel free to give us a call, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
All right, Jesse Wood, Operations Manager, Blacktail Mountain Ski Resort. Appreciate her. Clyde Seeley from, well, like I said, the father of the snowmobile recreation industry, especially in West Yellowstone. Thanks for being here. Dr. Pat Barkey is on the program tomorrow as we continue our look at Montana's economy. See you then.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.